that song. I don't. That's one of my favorite songs, and it just kept bothering me, nagging me this morning. So just keep in your mind that whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And this afternoon, I want to talk to you a little bit on from the text that was read, Romans 8, verses 5 through 8, with the primary focus on verse 8. And the title that I have is, He Made a Change in Me. He made a change in me. And each of us can say that same thing, that He made a change in us. Now, this chapter brings us to the conclusion of sanctification. In fact, it presents three great subjects: sanctification, security, and no separation from God. There are multitudes of people without God or without Christ and without the hope in the world today. This is the way that Paul is speaking to them in the scripture. Now, we understand that the Spirit pulls the mind in the direction of the spiritual things. And a man we find in Proverbs 23 and 7, it tells us, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where a man keeps his mind and what he thinks about determines how he is and who and what he does. Now, there is the carnal mind, what we're talking about, versus the spiritual mind. Now, this distinction is there throughout the Bible, not just here. But you see, here the Holy Spirit is directing the apostles to focus on this distinction. He is speaking of the difference between those who are in the flesh, those who are unregulated, those who are not born of God, those who are not in Christ. They are without a Savior, and that they are not united to God. It is this stage of individuals, men, women, boys, and girls, having come into this world destitute of the life of God in them. Those who by grace, the undeserved favor of God, are brought to Him. In fellowship with God, from whom they have been estranged. They are in the Spirit. They are spiritually minded. That is, their minds are changed. Now, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He must undergo a great and fundamental change. The Spirit must come into that person and make a difference and make a change within them. We must receive the life of God into the soul before we can have any acknowledge or any communion or any fellowship with Him. Now, they that are in the flesh. Now, the word flesh we know to mean several things. We know to use it in several different ways. It can mean the body. You read of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in His flesh. He offered up cries of tears and prayers when He was in the flesh. That was when He was here on earth, present with us. But being in the flesh means that the soul is without God. The soul destitute of the life of God. The soul acting in a natural way, in the way of sin and opposition to God. You remember the story of Jacob, don't you? In his natural condition, he engaged in a wrestling match. He did not seek it, but he fought back when God wrestled with him. Now, see, it wasn't until he yielded that he won. Anything that is done in the flesh produces in the flesh is not acceptable to God. We find in Revelation 3, verses 15 through 16, it tells us that the religious works of church people done in the lukewarmness of the flesh makes Christ sick to his stomach. This is being in the flesh. It simply means being unrenewed. It is a condition in which we are found as sinners in the eyesight of God. Being in the flesh means that we are doing our own thing. We want to go our own way. You see, we have a mind opposed to God and to the things of God. It is a mind that has no love for God, a mind that has no real interest in him or concerns to honor him or to serve him in this world. See, the law of God is disliked, and even more, it is hated by the natural heart. The unconverted person, whatever religious or religion appears or actions in spiritual matters, he has this carnal mind. He is in the flesh, unconverted. The carnal person must undergo a great change and he can be changed by the grace of God. The carnal mind cannot itself be changed. You cannot improve the carnal mind. You cannot make it any better. The carnal mind must be destroyed and a new mind created. The mind must be renewed. The mind is what controls all of our activities. It is in the mind that thoughts are formed. The thoughts which cannot be seen by others and are imperfectly seen by ourselves. These thoughts lie behind all of the actual sins that is found in the world. Unless the mind undergoes this great change, it will continue obstinately in the opposition to the will of God. God commands and the carnal mind says no. God invites and the carnal mind refuses. God pleads in his grace and the carnal mind spurns or rejects the divine plea. In every respect, the carnal mind is opposed to the Most High God, to the holiness of God, to the justice of God, to the truth of God, and even the very goodness of God. Because the goodness of God should lead men, that's you and me, to repentance and to the fact that it does not demonstrate all that is so clear, that this mind is in a fearful state of opposition to God. How are we to in the presence of God? That's you and I. How are we in the presence of God? Are we comfortable with the omniscience, the all-seeing eye of God upon us? Are we comfortable at the thought that he is everywhere? We cannot hide ourselves from God. Are we comfortable with the thought that we are answerable to him? Not just for the deeds and actions in the body, but the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. You see, for these things, we are accountable to God. The problem is that we who are in the flesh are without faith. They can have a certain trust and confidence, a kind of faith in individuals that is understood. In the world of commerce, in the world of business, you need a certain measure of trust in others to carry out certain transactions. You need to trust your neighbor and your friends. But you see, the very doctrine, the very thoughts of the gospel are unpalatable, or in other words, are hard to accept to the unconverted sinner. Well, why is it that man cannot please God? Well, it's because he is without faith. He does not trust his maker. He is not beholding or thankful to God for what he's received. I'm not saying there is no expression of thanksgiving. We can say many things with our lips, but I'm speaking about the heart. Churches, are we truly thankful for God? Are we truly thankful to God? Are we affected by the goodness of God? Does this goodness of God constrain us to turn away from our sins, to repudiate all of the wickedness in our hearts, to confess our sins and to turn from it to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Does it make us desire to walk with God and to reject all that is contrary to him? Church, we are to please God. It is our reasonable service as children of God. We are indebted to him for everything in life. All that we possess belongs to God anyway. All that we are, and all that all the comforts of life, and the health, and the things that we have in this body, we owe it all to God. That is our health, and that is our mind, that is controlled. We owe this to our Maker. We owe it to our perceiver. And we owe it to our benefactor. And I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Yet we continue not to honor him because we want to do what we want to do. We are just like Ford. We have a better idea. God doesn't matter what he wants. We're going to do our own thing. Yes, we will. We are without the fear of God by distinguishing a true believer from all others. We find in Jeremiah 32 and 40 where it says, I will put my fear into their hearts. And said the Lord, this is speaking of the new covenant of grace that is the provision made in the gospel. He said, I will put my fear into their heart that they shall not depart from me. Now that they are kept by the divine power, but the fear of God is in your heart. That fear is inseparable from the indwelling of the Spirit of God in us. You will notice the work of grace when it says, I will put my fear in their heart. Nobody can love God without that holy fear in Christ. And we're not talking about the fear as being afraid of someone. We're talking about that reverential fear of God. It's other words. We respect God. We respect what he can do. We respect his holy power. You remember not too long ago, he on that third day when he rose up with all power in his hand. He still has that same power today. All we have to do is accept Jesus for what he's done and what he will do for you. The power that he has, he can heal anything. But you see, he said he made a change. He got to make a change in you. He got to make a change in you. And that means giving up some of your friends. Saying, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Help me, Lord, to do your holy and righteous will. It said he is knocking at the door. All you got to do says open the door and invite him in. Because he, we know that he will not break in. He will let you invite him in to do his will. But you got to make that choice to serve him. You see, remember, he made a choice when he went on the cross. He made a choice because he loved you and he loved me. He didn't have to do, but he did, because he loved us. And most of all, again, he had all power in his hand. Good God Almighty, let me move on here. We find in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. All things are passed away. Good God Almighty. And that is so hard for some of us to do. We don't want to pass certain things away. We want to hold on to some of this stuff. I'm going to put it another way. We want to hold on to junk that's not going to do you any good. Let go and let God use you in a mighty way. Good God Almighty, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, yes, sir, all things have become new. Let us move into Christ's glory. Yes, sir. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Good God Almighty, if you are unconverted today, all of your attempts at seeking God, if you're one of these in the natural man, you will be unable. I don't care if you go to church 7 days a week. I don't care if you pray 3 times a day. I don't care what you do. You can give to all the charities in this world, but if you're unconverted, you're not converted or entwined with God, your work is vain. It is in vain. Good God Almighty. Let me move on. Good God Almighty. How can we please God? We know what it is to please man. And up to a point, this is a wise and a good thing. But it is natural and political wisdom that we should not do anything to give offense to our brothers and our sisters. My God, we should seek to please men wherein so as far that is not going to displease God. We are to obey God rather than men. God has a place for you. whether it's in heaven. But if you make your place in hell, that's where you will spend eternity. Praise God. Church, let us get on board and praise him. God is looking and he's waiting for you to make up your mind to praise him. God is our help and our provider for all that we need. So get on board. Praise him. Praise him, church. Because no better God than the Heavenly Father above. Pastor Baggett always talk about, I wouldn't serve a God that wouldn't come by and see me once in a while. But if you praise God, he'll stop by and touch you. He will commune with you. You have to walk with God. You have to talk with God. There's another thing. You can't run. You got to slow down. You got to listen. When he calls, if you're running, good God Almighty, good God Almighty, if you're running, you can't listen or you won't hear him. Take your time and back up just a little bit and walk with God. You remember, I'm going to move on. There was one that walked with God, and that was Enoch. He was of the seventh descendant of Adam, and he walked with God. He had a family, but good God Almighty, he still walked with God. And you and I got to walk with God. We got to slow down. Sometimes we want instant coffee. We want it right now. But let it perk just a little bit, and you will get the full force or the full impact of being and walking with God. God is good God Almighty. He is my help. He is your help in a time of trouble. God is my help, and I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Yes, he did. I once was lost, but good God Almighty, now I'm found. I once was blind, but thank God, now I see. God is good. God is so good. Good God Almighty. Everybody should be praising God each and every day. When you wake up in the morning, you say, thank you, Jesus. You allowed me to see one more day. But all of that come back to where God has made a change in you. You got to ask. Say, Lord, here I am. Change me. Good God Almighty, I'm here at your disposal. Use me as you see fit. But make sure you mean what you say. Because God will use you. Somebody said he will test your faith. He will test your loyalty. But be for real, because he knows anyway. Be for real in your service to him. God is God is able to do anything. God is, he's able to do anything. We look at Hebrews 11:6, and it tells us, says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what are you saying? You must have faith in our Heavenly Father. You got to have faith in his word. You must have faith to trust in him. Good God Almighty, believe in God. Believe in him. All of his promises that are made, I'm sure you won't find one that he went back on. Everything that God promised you, he will do it. We go back to that instant coffee. You want it right now. But God, although he can give it to you right now. But what good would that do you? You'd be just like some of our children. Every time they turn around, you giving them, and you taking care of their problems. What have they learned from that? You got to let them go on their own way. Put them in the hands of God, and he will work it out. Yes, he will. So what you have to do, you got to keep moving. There's a scripture. It says, I look to the hills from whence cometh all of my help. My help cometh from the Lord. My help cometh from above. And I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He pitied every groan. Good God Almighty, how many of you out there can say that I love the Lord because he first loved me? And not just with your lips, you mean it from your heart. You see, God knows your heart anyway. If you look at the book of Genesis, chapter 8, verse 21, he talks about how evil the natural heart is. Go to and read it for yourself. But in your natural heart, it is evil, has no desire to please God. So that's why you have to make a decision that I want to serve God. I want to serve him. I want to commit myself totally to him, because God is my light. He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Good God Almighty, he woke me up early this morning. He clothed me, and he also clothed you in your right mind. Yes, sir. So praise God, church. Let's praise God. Yes, we need to praise him and show him that we love him, that we are thankful for what he's done. Praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I once was blind, but Lord, now I see. Praise God. Church, praise God. Make up your mind whom ye will serve. It says it somewhere. For this day, for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Make up your mind that you will serve the Lord. Good God Almighty, you see, you remember on that Sunday morning, before that, we want to back up. They nailed him to the cross for your sins and for mine. He died because of the choice he made for you and for me. He took on the sins of the world, not because he had to, but because he was being obedient to his Father. And you see, we got to be obedient to the word of God. Now we stretched him, and they nailed his hands, and they nailed his feet. But when they stood the cross up, and when it hit the earth, there was a tornado. Lord have mercy. And we sit around. We can't say thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. He died. He went through that pain for you. And Lord, have mercy for me. He died. And when he hung his head and died, oh, my Lord, the earth became black. Good God Almighty. But you know what? It was not in vain. If you serve him, you give your life to him, it won't be in vain. His death, good God Almighty, proved one thing, that he has all power in his hand. And why I say that? Because he woke up and he came back from death. He arose on that third day, just as he said he would. Yes, sir. But you got some people that don't believe that he arose. We want to be like Thomas. We said, I will not believe until I see the nail print in your hand. But Lord, have mercy on me. Help us to believe. Help us to have faith in your holy and righteous word. Help us to commit our lives to Jesus Christ and forget about your circumstances. You turn them over to Jesus and leave them alone. God will, he will take care of you. Yes, he will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Praise God, church. Come on. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Because we never know the day nor the hour where death is waiting. Tomorrow is not promised to you, but praise him while you have the chance. Praise God. Thank him for all that you have, for all that you are. Because if it wasn't for him, where would you be? Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You saved a wretch like me. I know where I was, and that's why I can say he made a change in me. He made, good God Almighty, a change in me. If you had known me many years ago, you would say, Ain't no way that God changed that man, because I know how he was. But I also know how he was, or how I was. But that's why I can tell you he made a change in me, and he will do the same for you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for one more day. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. Good God Almighty. Thank God for one more day. We got to be thankful for where God has brought us from. We got to be thankful. Well, let me put it this way. If you want to be continuous rebelling against God, you don't have to thank him. You can have that attitude, is that I did this. But if you want to be thankful, realize that you haven't done nothing on your own. Whatever you have, God gave it. Whatever you did, whatever you do, God is blessing you to do it. Wherever you are, he brought you there. You didn't get there by yourself. You can think so if you want. But I said, Lord, help you. Lord, forgive them. Somewhere it says, for they know not what they're doing or what they're thinking. Because God can do any and everything. All we have to do is say, Lord, here I am. Use me, Heavenly Father, as you see fit. Use me for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Here I am, Lord. Use me. I thank you, and I hope and pray that I didn't tire you too long. But you see, I still remember when I was out there, I would go to the clubs, and I used to wait until when it was over, I would look for the next one that was open. In other words, what I'm saying, when we were praising the devil, it didn't matter what time we left and went home. But you see, when we get to praising God, everybody start looking at the watch. You start looking at the clock on the wall, saying it's time to go. But we need to remember, when we were out there, he still kept us, even in our sin. He kept us. So I have no alternative but to give God the glory and give him the praise, because he has brought me from a mighty long way. And I know where he brought me from. There are some stories I can tell you, but that's between him and I, because I don't have to worry about it no more. I know where it will stay. But just believe me, he has brought me from a mighty long way. And he'll do the same thing for you. Amen. Amen. Amen.